Talk about going full circle, Dr. Sue having been my high school principal in my senior year, and then my employee when I became a school board member.
She was, you know, I mean, and she, I remember I interviewed her when she was the Bradford High School principal. So, I mean, that's my takeaway, Mike.
Site WGTD.org. You're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist with the Racine.
Learning more about downtown Racine, and particularly the Downtown Racine Corporation, and what they do for the community in bringing people into the downtown and helping to develop the downtown. So I think people might think they know what you are all about, but if you can give us just a very brief overview of what the Downtown Racine Corporation is all about.
Sure. So we are a nonprofit organization. We are the only organization in the community that is 100% focused on the downtown area. So we manage the day-to-day economic development efforts, improve the aesthetics, the beautification, certainly the marketing of downtown to tourists and to residents. And then what most people do know as far as obviously programming events. So it's all encompassing, but at the end of the day, our goal is to have a thriving downtown.
And tell me a little bit about the history. This isn't a brand new corporation. It's been around for what, 20, 30 years?
Yeah, I think we're in about mid the 20 some years now. The organization was started by the Johnson family when they moved their headquarters to downtown Racine. Sam Johnson had a clear vision of that. Now that we're here, how do we make our downtown something special? You know, a lot of people know that he was very adamant about having the building in the heart of downtown, where there were many other locations he could have chosen throughout the Racine County, but he really felt strongly in that. So with that became the development of the Downtown Racine Corporation. Again, you know, what our mission, you know, is again, just make sure our downtown is thriving, make sure we're supporting our merchants, make sure we're letting the community know about our downtown. And then, so that was in about 20 some years ago. And then in 2002, the BID district was formed for the downtown. The Business Improvement District number one was also formed. So street cleaning, supporting anything that the DRC does. So it's really two organizations that work hand in hand together to do all of this. There's a lot that we do that I think people just assume just happens, right? You know, you
right.
see the downtown light up at this holiday season. That's a great example, as nobody recognizes the work that goes into finding that holiday tree, paying for it to get decorated, working with the community to actually place it there, you know, move a giant tree, and you know, all the lights that go up, the seasonal banners, all of those things are things that we handle. And so that's just, you know, one of many, but that's a great example, because I think in the holiday season, we sometimes forget, you know, all of that work that goes into the 12 block area to beautify it.
And I definitely want to talk, kind of go back and explain exactly what that means. Maybe use an example of XYZ business and what happens in terms of tax and what kind of representation then they have with your organization?
Sure. So anybody who owns property in the downtown area pays into the Business Improvement District. Now the city of Racine actually has three BID districts. The downtown BID was first formed, and then what followed was there's a Uptown BID and a Douglas Avenue BID, just to put that in context. And these are clearly defined borders. I have to adhere to, you know, board meetings, complete transparency. Everything is submitted through the city, just like any other, you know, public meeting. And some of the benefits of those, again, at the end of the day, it was formed to increase those property taxes. So people who own buildings downtown know that their property is going to hopefully rise in value, as we've seen lately, you know. But then there were some times, this was formed when downtown sort of had a downward streak. And so then things like, you know, the cement flower pots that you see that are placed throughout downtown, that was a big investment. And then putting flowers in those every year. So beautifying. We have public service ambassadors that work in the summer, and they are there just to basically help out with events, help when they see visitors that have questions. They're really the, they're ambassadors for our downtown. We also have, we've added downtown security, private security on Fridays and Saturday evenings. So that's a nice benefit for all. As you can see, a lot of building owners would reap the benefits of that. I mean, we do sidewalk cleanup. We pick up trash, but we also actually have a sweeper. We do graffiti removal. So if a building owner calls and says somebody graffitied my building, you know, we go over there and do our best or repaint over it.
I'm going to stop you there, Kelly, because you're giving me a big surprise, and I want to make sure that people are hearing this, because
this is all, again, what those bid dollars go towards. So yeah, we've got a great relationship with all of the building owners. They're informed of all meetings. They're notified of the budget. Every year I do a presentation where they're all invited to come look at exactly what our accomplishments were with it. Also with that is the marketing of downtown. So we're able to, you know, target Northern Illinois, Milwaukee, even our own residents here, to actually bring people downtown, because you can have the most gorgeous downtown, which I think we do with all of our architecture and the lake. And, but if we don't get people down here, it's all for nothing, right? I mean, we've really got to, you know, you build it and they will come. No, you have to tell them to come. That's actually another real important part of that. So yeah, the bid is, it's great. And it's also great that these boards work hand in hand together, again, just to try to raise each other up, because it's really, the mission is the same.
Well, you're in charge of both the bid and Downtown Racine Corporation, but are there two separate boards then that you're working with?
Yes, absolutely. So I serve two different boards. So the Downtown Racine Corporation board, since we are a private nonprofit company, that one, those meetings and things are not open to the public, but the bid meetings always are. So anyone who'd like to ever attend one or sit in on one are always welcome. And they can find those, you know, that information on our website or through the City of Racine.
So what do they do that's different from one another? Just trying to understand. So I know bid is basically collecting the money and managing the budget, but is it more likely for the bid board and your position to do cleanup that you were just describing, the graffiti removal, blah, blah, and then Downtown Racine Corporation, what would be their role relationship to that?
Well, there is some overlapping, but again, I sort of mentioned some of those tangible items that you see, the holiday decorations, the street cleanup, the flowers, specific marketing of downtown, graffiti removal, having ambassadors. So those are specific to the bid. And so I obviously have two completely separate budgets. So one that is part of bid funding through property owners, and then the Downtown Racine Corporation, we are a private nonprofit. So my role as the director there is not only, again, as the bid manager, implementing the budget for the bid and doing all of those, but, you know, we put on over 65 programmed dates per year. So that's actually even more than 100 events, but 65 of the 365 days a year, there is an event going on in downtown. And the Downtown Racine Corporation does that. In addition, we work with the actual businesses. Or support. We have a merchant resource guide. We can talk a little bit about letting them know about grant opportunities, communication with the merchants. We're really like their support system. If they need anything, they're going to say, call Kelly. And that's always your first step.
Makes sense.
Yes. So we implement those events. We have a strategic plan and that I implement through the DRC. And, you know, those things are communication with the city, certain marketing goals, certain number of event goals, certain goals related to how are we supporting our merchants. So it's all encompassing.
Now, I recognize that the funding is not public funding. So, you know, feel free to answer this question any way you feel comfortable doing so. But where is the money coming from to fund the private nonprofit Racine Development Corporation?
Sure. So we have our budget comes from a multitude of sources. We have over 200 members. So most of the merchants downtown, we have our actual DRC members where they pay a fee of $250 per year to kind of reap the benefits, be a part of things like the wine walk where we only have a limited number of people, or candy crawls and all of these things, which we can talk, you know, some of these ticketed events are definitely revenue generators. And then also a lot of
probably from the outside, what you're most known for, because we, no matter where you live around the region,
another ladies' night out at night or something, you know, all of those would only be considered one programmed date, even though there's say three events in one day. But yes, 65 dates per year we have something happening. They say that the most successful tourist-driven downtowns, I mean, we're talking the cream of the crop, you really need to aim for 150 to 200 programmed dates, which is hefty. Yes, and we're talking, I mean, these are communities where, but that's really like the ultimate goal. So every year we try to increase our programming, and we've been able to successfully do that. We've probably had about, since 2017 when I came on, I started making quite a few changes, and just revamping things. So we've probably increased by 20% every year as far as program dates. And that's going to continue to happen. We've got to keep striving towards that ultimate goal.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. How are these run? I mean, and maybe it's a good time to talk about staffing and volunteers at this point.
Yeah, so the DRC itself runs 65 program dates per year, but actually in the downtown, we're at about 100 to 110 program dates per year based on what other organizations also bring to the downtown, right?
Okay.
So we track all of that. But yeah, so as a downtown, we're at over 100, around 100. And of course, volunteers are parked and coming out at a certain time. And how,
oh my gosh, know,
all of this, yeah, there's a lot. So a lot of those volunteers are the same. Same thing with Party on the Pavement. There's specific tasks that need to be done, and it's, we get a lot of the same ones helping out every year because it's familiar to them, and people feel more comfortable volunteering with things that they're familiar with, as you can imagine, you know.
Do you have volunteer committees for each one of these major events that you mentioned? So that committee really does a lot of the planning and work and reports to you on that. How does that work?
Actually, you know, we used to have planning committees, but it just works better, at least for me, to just not to have too many cooks in the kitchen, so to say. So we've come up with a really good internal process of what needs to get done by what date, who's responsible for that. And so every year we just get more and more detailed that way, and it eliminates the need for a lot of meetings. And so we're kind of like a well-oiled machine.
It does sound that way. Oh, excellent. Excellent job. Let's go back to, we talked some about events.
I do this every year. And it's pretty eye-opening. It's chock full. We go over in depth of all of our business development efforts. What have we done? You know, what have we done to help our businesses? And then we actually say, well, how many been on some of those, specifically highlighting new ones and also ones that we've done surveys for or able to do economic impacts for. And so, you know, for example, let's say the Beer and Bacon Walk, that's a pretty, in its infancy, this event. It's only done it, I think, 2 years. And so we were able to figure out how much the average person spent while they were downtown, how many businesses they visited while they were down here, and really how much money was pumped into our downtown and to our small business owners because of that event. So that's really important to recognize. And then we go into some of our clean and safe initiatives, some of the things I talked about with how are we beautifying, what are we doing to maintain this beautiful downtown that we have, you know, what kind of stipulations does the city have in place to make sure that when people are doing facade, small business owners.
Any downtown, and especially when you're talking about small business, it's hard work to keep a business open. So how has Racine been doing the last couple of years? Obviously,
the obvious churn is going to happen because these are small business owners. Often, you know, restaurants have the highest turnover, right? Because
right.
Small business retail, again, extremely difficult. And so we expect that our goal is to, how do we support them so this doesn't happen? How do we decrease that percentage of churn? And so then 2021 came along, and I believe it has to do with quite a few different things. Number one, you know, all of this saw 33 new businesses open.
Wow.
Great. And then we had 10 closing. So think about that difference of a, you know, 23 business net gain. It is really phenomenal coming off of a year of just one net. So that's been great.
Exciting.
It is. It's like, you know, and it's not, everyone's going to say, I'm sure everyone listening is saying, well, it doesn't seem like it, right? I don't know. I didn't really notice that many. Well, you got to think it's over 12 months. So if you haven't been downtown in a while, you probably just haven't noticed it. A lot too of these businesses that opened up, we do need to fill those up. We need to have that density. When people are working downtown, they're more likely to grab lunch downtown, spend time downtown. You know, they're going to go, yeah, everything goes hand in hand. Absolutely. And, you know, you think about the sort of the devastating effects on restaurants during this COVID, because now all of a sudden, when you have the entire Johnson building working from home, CNH employees working from home, I mean, that was an influx of thousands of people that potentially would, you know, stay out after work and, you know, grab all of those little things that on a daily basis were just disappeared all at once. And we're seeing that obviously an influx of that again. So having more small businesses, it just diversifies us, and there's always strength. Really creative, some diversified and did added more of an online presence. Immediately when COVID hit, one of the first things we did was reached out to all of the businesses and said, hey, are you going to be offering curbside delivery, curbside pickup? Will you deliver to people's houses? And we came up with a comprehensive list of about 60 some businesses, but clearly stated, even though our, you know, encourage people to do outdoor dining, we immediately put together a map of all of the restaurants that highlighted all of the outdoor dining opportunities. So a lot of people, you know, when you think about outdoor dining, you might go, oh yeah, let's go to Reef Point, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Some, you know, you think of the bigger ones. Well, how about Dewey's? They've got great outdoor seating. Ivanhoe, they've got a couple cute tables out there. So it just sort of opened people's eyes to, when you think of outdoor dining, we made curbside like signage for all some more money. And they did a lot. We see announce this vacant building grant program. And that's really where you're starting to see a lot of these small startups opening.
Let's talk about that grant. I have to say, this is the first I've heard of that one in particular.
Yeah. So this is anybody who, goes, starts a lease, purchases to start a business or signs a lease starting January 1st. It did backdate a little, even though it was announced in June, through June of 2022 here. So we do have a couple more months of this. And if they are successfully awarded, they will get a $10,000 grant, which can be used towards helping them pay the rent. Or for merchandise, they didn't put too many restrictions on how people can use those grants. So part of that application process does require a letter from me, just double checking all of the information, meeting with the business. We've been working with the landlords of these buildings as well so that they make sure that all of their new tenants are aware of it. So a lot of this is just about transparency, communication.
Addressing that.
Yes. So definitely we're seeing that. One of the things we did this past year was just a survey of the merchants and just asking them, what are their challenges? Or what are they finding success in? What events do they find actually lead to greater sales? How can we be more supportive? What resources could we provide that maybe we're not at right now? And the major concern was having employees. You know, I could be a bartender there. I wouldn't mind serving there, or maybe a favorite retail shop that they shop at, you know? So it's really kind of put everything don't know. It's just, it's like putting the information and giving it to the right people rather than everybody, and nobody's really interested. So it's really nice that seems to be working. So I would say, I mean, the trend continues to be, that one trend that I did mention before is a lot more office, you know, service industries. And so that continues to be a trend. We're really getting down there in stock when it comes to a first floor retail and restaurant white box buildings, you know? And so that's actually becoming more and more of a chance, you know, retail spots that have enough square footage, but that are also don't require, again, new flooring, new, you know, tons of updates just to get it presentable. So one reason for this too is interesting to note, and this is a program that actually sunset. That was a really great booster where that's why I've seen a lot more retail last year.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The one program that is still live.
Yes.
So that one's still live, and almost all of the, you know, we really promote that because we want people to invest in that, the facade, obviously. It helps everybody. It's a win for everybody.
Sure.
Yeah. Cause if you happen to be next to a business that hasn't updated their facade, it hurts your business, you know, and it's just next time you go downtown, I encourage people to really look at how beautiful all of our buildings are. They are just gorgeous.
I do love the architecture. It is very pretty. It feels like you almost described where it's got some old.
On our website, if you go onto the tab, delve into downtown history, that's a really cool. We have one for Main Street and one for Sixth Street. So if you're ever just walking around maybe this summer and you like a building, you can just, you know, pull that up on your phone and hear about it or read about it. And it's quite interesting. A lot of it has to do with, you know, the big fire that happened in downtown and how buildings either recovered or rebuilt and all of that.
Very cool. I was not aware of that, and I'm going to do that. So we're about out of time, Kelly, and you're doing amazing work there. I'm so impressed. We have been talking with Kelly Cruz, who is the executive director of the Downtown Racine Corporation and also the head of the Downtown Bid District. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Delighted to welcome Rosario Marin, former treasurer of the United States. You're invited to join the coalition Wednesday, February 23rd at 6 p.m. for a discussion on the future of U.S. and Latin American economic relations, in particular the challenges and opportunities in the relationship between Mexico and the United States. The event is free and open to the public. Learn more at carthage.edu/business.